Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning, Chuck. How you doing?
Well, I'm okay, guys. How are you today?
Doing okay. Doing okay.
Good.
We've got baseball tonight. What were you doing when Keith Gutton took over as the head coach at Missouri State? It's just shocking to see somebody that's still doing it all these years later, from 1983 through 2024. I know this will be his last year. I was six. What were you doing in 83?
Well, I was enrolled at the University of Arkansas, and I was working at a radio station. So that's been a while. I remember the first time, this would have been in 92, when we played what was then Southwest Missouri State, and it was at Metter Park, there by Battlefield Mall. And, I mean, it was, you know, there might have been three rows of wooden bleachers, maybe four. And it would stretch from, you know, dugout to dugout. But, I mean, that place packed wouldn't have held 150 people. And there, and it wasn't packed that day, believe me. And so they've come a long way. Keith Gutton is a really, really good baseball man. In fact, I can remember thinking, I'll just be very honest with you here, when Norm retired, I thought if they can't get Van Horn and Coach Broyles is going to go on the cheap, that might be the guy to go get. I've always thought he was a great baseball man. I think he's a great coach. I think he's done more with less. And, you know, they broke our hearts in 99. I mean, just I would say that along with maybe the Sterner fumble in Knoxville, two toughest losses I've ever observed as a Razorback fan. And but Gutton's a good coach and, from what I understand, a great guy. And he's been a really good college baseball coach and has been been a good steward of the game.
Yeah, I know Nate liked working for him. And, you know, obviously you get a chance to take a job from Springfield to Fayetteville and work at Arkansas. You take that opportunity. But I know he's happy there and it's a good place. Hey, so I remember, I think it was even before the Arkansas-Tennessee basketball game, you and Matt really zeroing in on Jonas Adu and how much you really liked how he played. And, man, it's now you got him on your team. And this is the first veteran to sign with Cal. And, obviously, they're after a couple of others. So, man, I mean, you got a bunch of really talented incoming freshmen. You got a guy who's really talented that played for Cal last year. Maybe there'll be more. And now you have one of the top big men already from the SEC.
Yeah, I thought Adu was one of the most improved big men, or has been one of the most improved, not just big men really, but players in our league over the last couple of years. I'm sure Tennessee's frustrated, man. I mean, they've developed this guy, and I'm also, I say I'm sure, I would imagine that, you know, Kenny Payne's very reputable when it comes to working with big men. And, you know, when Adu came into the league, he was a shot blocker and a wild one at that. That's about it. He developed into a really good defensive player. And I thought this past year he had developed into a guy who could finish at the rim on the offensive end. He developed into a much more skilled offensive player, much closer to an offensive player who can dribble, pass, and shoot. And, you know, I thought he was, you know, right there. And had become, I know he was an all-defensive, you know, he's been an all-defensive player, but I thought he became a complete player while he was at Tennessee. And I think Arkansas is getting a complete player, and they'll put a lot more polish on him too, I'm sure. And he's a big get, I mean, literally and figuratively, because you got a couple of seven-footers in there now, and, you know, that's, you got to have those guys.
Hashim Thabeet is who I thought of the first time I saw him, Adu, play. And Chuck, you're right. Just a guy that plays defense and blocks shots. And it, how do you think his hands are, Chuck? Because that's the thing as a big. Can he catch it? Can he dribble a little bit?
Yeah, that's the thing that I was impressed by this year. Yes, he can catch. He can. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he's going to put it on the deck four or five times. I'm not saying you want him bringing it up the floor. But he can catch the pass, put it on the deck a couple of times, put a shot up.
And he's a true big, right? Like, he's not going to float around the he's not going to float around the 3-point line. He's going to just he's going to control the paint.
No, I would imagine when he shoots facing the basket, a lot of that's going to be, you know, from what I'd call the mid-range, mm-hmm. you know, the elbow, short corner. I don't recall him shooting very many threes when he was at Tennessee, but the thing that I thought he did well this year was catch the pass off the pick and roll and finish. And, he can block shots, he can go get rebounds. But I just thought he was a much more skilled player this year and had become more of a complete player as opposed to what he was when he got there. Most guys that come in as tall, defensive guys, shot blockers, that's what they stay. I mean, if they're going to develop an offensive game, a lot of times it comes later after they're gone. Even guys that stay 2, 3, 4 years. It's, you know, a lot of those guys, it's just a slow process to develop those offensive skills. And I think he's done it more quickly than most.
I remember talking last week with you, and I brought up the idea that, you know, by then it was just Ivicic who had signed at Arkansas. And, you know, we were kind of like, we were waiting on the precipice of what felt like the dam beginning to break as far as getting players signed to the roster. And since then, I mean, you've seen the fruits of the labor. There's been all the work that Cal and I'm sure Kenny Payne and a couple of assistants that might not have been announced yet that have put all this work in. And now it really does seem like it's paying off. You're getting the players that you're targeting.
Well, they're not done. I mean, I'm not sure the best isn't yet to come. I mean, literally. I'm not sure of that. It's not like they filled out the roster. I'm not even sure they're halfway there. You know? So, there's more coming. And I think what we're finding out, what we see with Adu, and I think there's more coming out of the portal. We're going to see that John Calipari recruits just as effectively out of the portal as he does out of the high schools. I guess from afar, I didn't fully realize it, you know? I mean, I knew they were loaded every year. I knew we got the best players out there. But I didn't really understand how, man, everybody wants to play for this guy. Because, again, you look around the NBA, and they're everywhere. And, I mean, they're not just on rosters. They're the best players on their teams. Or the best two or three, anyway. And this is the guy they want to play for. So I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done at all. I don't think he's done. I think there's going to be more signees that make us go, wow. This is going to be quite a roster when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and speaking of NBA, your Knicks got a 3-1 lead on the Sixers. I've been watching that. I've been impressed with, I'm a Brunson fan. Is it Anunoby? He's been
Anunoby, OG Anunoby.
He's kind of like a Lance Stevenson almost, if you remember him. He's just kind of gritty and Tony Allen, gritty, grimy, can play defense, can get rebounds.
And he's bigger than those guys.
Yeah, he's athletic. Guys. Man, I know the Knicks don't have all their bullets, and so they're going to run into the Celtics. But you have to be excited, Chuck. Who is the guy that you, Phil and I started the show today, and we were talking about a Klay Thompson or a Kevin Durant. Who's the guy, if you're the Knicks, that you're like, all right, let's just go get one more guy, and then that could take you over the hump?
Could be. I mean, Julius Randle is out,
mm-hmm.
but, sometimes they played better when he wasn't in there, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Julius Randle. I think he's a great player. But, just didn't seem to work the way that, they wanted it to sometimes. I think they've got a pretty good nucleus right now. Either you bring Randle back next year or you go get somebody else. But I'm going to tell you right now, this team's playing well enough to give the Celtics a run for their money. I know Dudley's on here, and Dudley's, he's a Celtics guy, and I know they're good, and they're clearly the favorite. There's no doubt about it. They're clearly the favorite. But, New York beat them pretty good in the Garden right there, two weeks ago, I guess, toward the end of the regular season. And I'm not saying that is going to have anything to do with the playoffs, but I think they'll give them a run for their money. I think the Knicks are good.
I think of tortured fan bases in sports. So, if Cleveland were to win a Super Bowl, the stadium would just explode.
It has to, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
If Toronto at some point were to win a Stanley Cup, it's been, I don't know.
The Maple Leafs?
Since the 50s or 60s.
Well, they've won an NBA championship since then, yeah.
Could you imagine the next time the Knicks win an NBA Finals? Look, New York is a baseball town. It's an everything town, but... It's a basketball town.
It's the Mecca.
That place would explode.
It is a Yankees/Knicks town. And with respect to the football Giants and the J-E-T-S, Jets. I mean, it is a Knicks city. I became a Knicks fan in the early 70s when the Garden was Eden. And they couldn't quite get over the hump when Ewing was there. They had that Olajuwon guy. They just couldn't get past him. And Jordan had a little something to do with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this team's going to win the NBA title. But I do think the team that wins the East is going to win the NBA championship. I do think that.
That was kind of be my next thing. I've been watching these playoffs pretty locked in, Chuck. The Thunder and the T-Wolves, I mean, they got some young talent. They're doing their thing. If Denver's 100% healthy, I just don't know that they can get past them. But if they do, I'm with you. I got Boston beating Oklahoma City or the T-Wolves in the NBA Finals.
I think it's going to be Denver. And I say that, I mean, I'm pulling for Oklahoma City. I really am. But I just think that Denver's going to be a little bit too much inside. I think Boston would be too. And I think Boston's going to win the East. I love watching Oklahoma City play. I wish they'd start a little bit earlier than 8:30. I'm not going to lie to you there. It seems like all their games are at 8:30. But, I don't know. I'm pulling for them, but I just wonder if they're going to be able to handle the wear and tear down the stretch.
The good thing is they get the Clippers or the Mavericks as far as the Thunder.
No, you're right.
The Thunder. So I got them going past that, and it's either going to be the Thunder versus Minnesota or Denver. I got Denver.
Right? I think it's going to be the Thunder and Denver.
Mm-hmm.
But, who knows? We may have a changing of the guard. We might just be.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. and robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
I see Panera is selling a limited edition bread bowl hat for the Kentucky Derby. That's kind of funny. I'll be an hour away from the Derby on Saturday because Arkansas is at Kentucky, and that's two trips in a row where Arkansas goes to visit Kentucky for baseball, where we're there for Derby week, and we were rained out in 2019. I could have made the race. I decided not to. Kevin Trainer went, though, and I think I should have been with him. You ever been to the Kentucky Derby, Chuck? It's something I probably should have gone to visit.
No, I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. I've been to Keeneland a few times there in Lexington, but I've never been to the Kentucky Derby. Always wanted to go. Maybe I will someday.
You been to the Kentucky Oaks?
No, I have not. For years and years and years, I was doing baseball.
I got you.
I think one or two times we were in Lexington. Once I remember, years and years ago, when the Kentucky Derby was going that weekend. There were people everywhere.
I was going
to
say.
From Louisville to Lexington to Cincinnati, they were everywhere.
I wore a suit and went to the Kentucky Oaks, and that was all I needed because they were saying, yeah, there'd be like 10 times the people at the Derby. I was like, yeah, I don't need 10 times the more people. Yeah.
It's still the suit, though.
But they all had their dresses and the hats, and the pageantry was there. Yeah.
They won't be dressed like that for the baseball series at Kentucky Proud Park. But, Chuck, out of all the baseball games, not just that you've called but that you've watched, did you ever see an outfielder pull what Peyton Holt pulled on Saturday? Because I haven't. Bubba said he hadn't either.
You know, that's the sort of thing you see like in a softball league. You know, like, and they talk about it for years. And that's kind of what that play was. I mean, it was a backyard play that he obviously, as he said after the game, I mean, he thought about it. And they'd worked on it and thought that might be a time to try it. To me, the thing that was so interesting about the play was, I mean, they ended up with the out at the plate, but you know, I'm guessing based on what I watched, the design is to get the guy to take off from third, you throw behind him at third and force him out. And this guy read the play, and you know, to his credit, they realized that you know they'd been deked, and so he went back to the bag, and they weren't going to be able to force him. But I don't really know why he took off after that because. It was just, you know, it was one of those plays you'll talk about as long as you can remember.
Holt's reached, I mean, he's already kind of reached, in some folks' minds, legendary status. And, you know, he's the one position player that gets an appreciable amount of at-bat, or any at-bats, who's from Arkansas. You got guys on the mound who are from Arkansas, but Holt's the only, you know, hitter, position player who's from the state. And he told me that he had chances to go play for somebody else on a Crowder. He couldn't have imagined playing for anybody else. And Man, I mean, that means something to our listeners here. That means something to people in the stands when it means something to the player a little bit differently than it does anybody else because he grew up amongst it.
No doubt about it. And, you know, it's much more complex now when it comes to in-state kids. And, you know, I know our fans root for him and pull for him and ask about him and know him. And when he's not in there, they want to know why. And when he is, they say it's about time, regardless of how the team's doing. Because college sports is different now. And you don't have many teams at all that are made up of, you know, your kids, so to speak. And I'm not being critical. It would be nice if you could have a team full of Arkansas kids that could compete nationally in every sport. But we don't. You know, we just don't. And so you got to go get them other places. But when you have a player like Peyton Holt, and you touched on it there, we got kids from our state that pitch. But in terms of guys who hit, guys who play every day, he's the one that is from here and the one our people focus on.
Chuck, we hear about this elite pitching at the University of Arkansas and how it's good enough. What is the one thing you think when you watch this baseball team, what's another thing that we do well enough that you think can help get us over the hump this year and have success and lift the trophy in Omaha?
Well, they're a great defensive team. They're fielding at a .982 percentage right now, and that's championship level. I thought at the beginning of the year, Phil, you obviously see it more than anybody, but I thought at the beginning of the year that from an infield perspective, they were very, very good and okay in the outfield with the potential to be good. And I think they've become a good defensive outfield. And they cut off line drives and turn, you know, keep what would be a double to a single. They've made acrobatic plays. They've got good arms. Generally speaking, they throw to the right base. I think they've become a much, much better defensive outfield. But I think they're championship level defensively on the infield. And I've thought that really from day one.
I'm interested to see moving forward because of how Peyton has played in center field specifically. He doesn't look like an infielder who's learning the outfield. And truthfully, just the routes that he's taking and how quickly he can get to the ball, he actually looks like a center fielder right now, too. It's not just this deke play as well. But this is one of the things that's just so wild about the record of the team and where they rank is that they're still unsettled in the outfield. I mean, you're still unsettled in right field because Kendall has not been producing and they're still just waiting for that to happen because if he does, he can be a really dynamic hitter. They're as settled as it gets on the infield, but they're not in the outfield and yet they keep winning games.
Well, it's because they're overall a good team and whatever deficiencies they have, they've not been exposed or they've been able to cover them up. You know, to me, what makes a great outfield goes beyond the obvious. It goes beyond the acrobatic catches. It goes beyond, you know, the great throws. It's cutting off balls in the alley, taking the correct angle on a base hit, taking the correct angle on what would be a fly ball that would move a runner up, positioning yourself to throw home on a fly ball to the outfield when a runner's at third, throwing to the right base. I'm not going to name names, but we got two or three outfielders, and I'm not saying they do it routinely, but I watch every game, and I've seen them throw to the wrong base a time or two. And I remember back in the Texas Tech series, it didn't cost them, but it might later on. You got to throw to the right base every time. That's what a championship outfield does. Now, I think, again, infield-wise, I think they're there. Outfield-wise, and some of it has to do with outfield's a spot where, you know, how you're hitting sometimes determines how much you're playing, maybe more so than some other spots, at least on this team. That's a really important thing to me. Defensive outfield plays really important, and it goes beyond the obvious. And it can be the difference between a run or two in a ball game, a guy getting into scoring position and the next guy getting a base hit. Whereas if he was still at first, he'd only be over at third. You let him get to second because you threw to the wrong base, and all of a sudden he scores on a hit. Those are the things you have to avoid. If they can avoid that, they've got guys who can play out there, but there's just that fine line that separates the teams that get there and, you know, the one team that raises that trophy at the end, as you say.
Chuck, I wanted to get your thoughts as we close out here on Dominique Johnson, not going into the transfer portal, because I think that's expected. You get the young man who's transferred in from Florida State, and I just don't know if there was, you know, room for Neek any longer to carry the ball at Arkansas. But it's just kind of, man, he had such a great freshman season. And think about that Outback Bowl and, you know, the knee injury. And, man, I mean, another knee injury the next year. And there's just a lot of what could have been. And I hate it for Dominique because I know the coaches loved him too.
Well, you hate to see anybody go that you like, particularly someone who's been around a while. And the knee injuries derailed him. I mean, that's the obvious at this point. It just, his recovery didn't go the way he wanted it to, and I know he was frustrated. And there are over 3,000 kids in the transfer portal right now. And he's the latest, or at least one of the latest. And I hope he finds a home. I mean, I hope he finds a place where he can play. I hope he finds a place where he's got a decent NIL deal and where they travel well and eat well and he enjoys all the things he's enjoyed at Arkansas. I wish him well in that regard because I think he's a good guy and a good kid and a good competitor.
Hickey & Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Try the new Traveler Whiskey, a Chris Stapleton and Harlan Wheatley collaboration. A great buy. Also, Hard Truth, Sweet Mash, Bourbon, and Rye are available. Only at Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Dudley, I think it was Glenn in Tawnytown texted in when he heard that you were coming on the show. He said the Nuggets are going to win the NBA Finals. I guess he's assuming in that case that the Celtics are going to get to the Finals too, but I'll let you start with your favorite basketball team. How you enjoying the playoffs?
Well, I am enjoying them, except for one game there where Boston didn't show up. But I would, if I was making bets, which I don't do, but if I was making bets, I would bet on Denver too until somebody knocks them out. I love my Celtics, but they worry me every once in a while. Their home record is not very good. The road record is really good. So, but yeah, I feel good about the Celtics. But yeah, I think Denver. Now, I do think Denver's going to have a tough series with Minnesota. Anthony Edwards is cooking right now, as they say.
Yeah, I wonder how healthy they'll be. You look at Porzingis in Boston. You look at Murray. And you've already seen injuries already happen in the NBA with Butler, with Joel Embiid. These guys are out there kind of giving it the raw on one leg. Who do you think, Dudley, is, to me, and it's such a objective deal, but I have Jason Tatum as the number one American. Like, if you're to say, I know it's a big Euro heavy league right now, the Joker and Luka, Giannis, I mean, it goes on and on, even Rudy Gobert, that the Nuggets are going to have to play. But man, I like some Jason Tatum. I think he might be the next face of the NBA for the Americans are concerned.
Yeah, I think he's been really good, and I think he's taken a step up this year. Playoff Jason will always be a thing until the Celtics do win it, so he has to ride with that. But if Porzingis is healthy, I think they'll be okay. It looked like he was tweeting last night after the game and in a walking boot as precautionary reasons. But yeah, I agree with you. Tatum has certainly moved himself to the front of that pack. I say that knowing that Shea Gilchrist, SGA, is a Canadian, from my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oklahoma City, young talent. You know, I think they're a little too soft right now as far as I know they're the number one seed, and that's amazing. I'm not taking anything away from them, and I think this group can win a title. I think they got to grow into it. I just think they're a little too much youth on their side when they have to play against that veteran. Now, if the Nuggets are banged up or they're hurt or this series goes seven that they're going to have with the T-Wolves, you know, maybe the tone changes. But if all things are equal, Denver's healthy, Oklahoma City's healthy, man, I'd have Denver in 5-6 at the most.
Yeah, I think the experience would be in play there. And also, you know, I don't know that many people have anybody that can stop the Joker, but I think Jebediah Chet Holmgren does a great job for Oklahoma City, but, you know, still got to put on a little weight, able to deal with the Joker a little bit. So,
Dudley, how'd you get to be a Celtics fan? Now, I grew up in Pittsburgh without an NBA team. My aunt, who still lives in Milton, Massachusetts, which essentially is Boston, had season tickets back at the Garden, and, you know, so she introduced me to the Celtics, and I became a Celtics fan from there. And I haven't followed the NBA in a few years, but if I were to pick a team, it would probably be Boston just because of that. How did you get to be a Boston fan?
Well, growing up in Newport, Arkansas, you know, we got the three TV channels, and the only NBA game on during the week was on Sunday, and it was the Boston Celtics because they were doing so good in the 60s, obviously, and I fell in love with their team concept and Bob Cousy and then John Havlicek, and have just kept going since then, and Larry Bird, obviously, and just kept it going. But that was my basketball team because of the TV. The Cardinals were my baseball team because really the proximity to St. Louis, but also because we had a radio station in Newport that covered the Cardinals, and we also got them on TV. And the Cowboys came along and they were the TV game of the week. So that's where I got it. Now I've got a license plate thing on the front that says it has Cardinal, Cowboys, and Celtics logo, and I get comments about that all the time, like, what in the world here? And so that's it. It was the media back then, which was not the proliferation of media that we have now. We had those three channels. I mean, remember when Arkansas PBS came on, we all got excited because that was four.
And they weren't showing too many sports. They are now, though. They got their high school championship there. That's for sure.
Quiz Bowl last weekend, too. So,
hey, Jonell Davis, the crystal balls are starting to come in about Jonell Davis maybe being the next piece of the puzzle for Arkansas men's basketball under Cal. You heard anything going on there?
Well, you know, if you listen to Matt Jones from Kentucky, you would think he's going to end up in Kentucky. If you listen to the Matt Jones from here, I mean, what do you say, Matt Jones from here? I do think it seems like he's leaning here. And, you know, the guys who have been doing these crystal balls here lately with the different Arkansas and Kentucky and stuff have gotten it right. And, you know, there's a young kid down there, Mets in Florida Atlantic, who seems to be getting most of these Florida Atlantic things right. And he's saying he's coming here. So that would be just an unbelievably huge pickup. Anybody that watched them 2 years ago, especially, knows what a great player he is. And let's be honest, a lot of really good young players, but you need some veteran guys. Jonas Adu coming on yesterday. And if you get John L, then I think you're going to be pretty good. I don't know what the others, you know, what is it, eight guys are going to look like, but, you know, first five is a pretty good start.
Yeah, Dudley, I've already penciled Phil and I in for the final four. That being said, with these eight guys that you have left, tell me there's at least one holdover. Is anybody that was on the last year Arkansas Razorback basketball roster going to be on this next year, this version of Coach Cal's roster?
You know, what I'm wondering, guys, is that I'm sure that just like everybody else, he has a list he's going down. And are there a few of these guys that, you know, he would like to have on this team? Or is it a matter of, going down the list and finally getting there? You know, I'd love to see Blocker back. I mean, I think he has a bright future. I think we all think he was underutilized this year. I'd like to see him back. You know, I do think that they would be wise to go get some shooters as well. And, you know, we know that Joseph Pinion's already at Arkansas State. I tell you what intrigued me this morning. I woke up and saw K.K. Robinson is in the portal again after 2 years at Arkansas, one at Texas A&M and one at Little Rock with Darrell Walker. That would might be interesting. I think you do need some veteran point guard presence, and maybe he goes back here. But I did, you know, right now there's not too many left out there that hadn't already that were from here that hadn't already committed or looked to be leaning other places.
If I'm Bay Falls people, where's Bay Fall?
Because he went to Kansas. I think it's Kansas State.
He already went. Because I was going to say I would be staying here now because how much better? I mean, just think about practicing going against these. You're going to get nothing but better. But okay, he went to Kansas State. All right.
Hey Dudley, what about the new offensive lineman that just came in from Syracuse? What do you know about him?
Well, the first thing is I'm going to have to learn to spell his name just M-O-R-E, then M-O-O-R-E, which, you know, is the normal spelling. But this is Joe Moore that they got from Syracuse. He's a guy that has a lot of experience in playing college football. And I think one thing that, you know, in reading what Otis and Richard Davenport and the others have been putting out, he's kind of this this guy who can play all three spots there on the or all five spots, however you want to look at it. On a roster with center, guard, and tackle. And, you know, I think that versatility is going to help them out. We all know that these offensive line coaches would love to have two complete lines, but then they also fall into where they like a seven or eight guy rotation. And from all indications, he's going to be able to be one of those versatile guys that I guess they use the term swing offensive lineman now. And they seem really enthused about picking him up. And I know that they're, after watching them go through spring practice, obviously the spring game, they are very high on the offensive lineman that they brought in. That had to be a big line, a big overall push to get those guys back. They're back up to 13 offensive linemen after losing, I think, 8 or 9 of them. Some of them that we thought would be great players here and didn't turn out to be. But I think the offensive line has made a push and feel good about where they're headed with that.
You've put more on the offensive line. I think you've added defensive tackle, linebacker, running back in the spring portal. What else do you think they're looking at right now?
I think you still want to go out and get you another wide receiver, and you still want to get another defensive lineman as well, and one more linebacker. That seems to be the guys that they have in here. I know my man Otis Kirk was up at 6 a.m. this morning because they were having some recruits coming in town. And they were a linebacker and the defensive lineman. So they're still working on that. And I think we knew at the end of last season, and certainly still after spring practice, that you needed to add a few more of those in. And I think that's what they're doing. They've already got 4 in the second portal period. Still have 7 scholarships left, which is amazing to me.
Hey, Dudley, did you see how cool I saw the golf event down in New Orleans with the two Irishmen winning that? How long have they been doing that? Those guys get exemptions, and that's a real PGA sanctioned event. But man, that was just that is the 4-ball and the alternate shot. That was such a cool event. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, we do that a lot out on the course. Me and my buddies do that a lot on the course here. You know, I like that format, and yeah, I did see some of it. You know, I think it's a fun deal. Yes, golf is can be such an individual game, and I love to watch just the normal events and all that. But, you know, switching it up every once in a while is kind of fun, too.
We're switching it up topic by topic here, man. We've done basketball, football, golf. So let's just wrap up on a little baseball thought here. They've played over 40 games. Everybody wants to know, is there going to be an uptick offensively? We're still kind of waiting on it. Is by now, are they are what they are offensively, or do you think there's room to get better?
Well, I think there's room to get better now. Do I have confidence that's going to happen? You know, I thought it's going to happen all year. And, you know, obviously Kendall Diggs has been hurt and kind of battling through that. It seems a similar situation to me, you know, as Peyton Stovall battled through. Last year, you know, I think that if he was completely healthy, this offense would be clicking, and you hope that he can get healthy toward the end of the year. But I tell you what, you just cannot keep Peyton Holt out of the lineup. And I know he made a great play defensively last weekend, and that, you know, obviously got the number one play on Sports Center and all that. But I tell you what, I keep finding myself putting spark plug by his name in the stories. And he's just one of these energy guys that no matter where you put him, he makes plays, and he just has to be in the lineup. And I know a lot of guys may be better defensively. I don't know that they're better hitting because he's up there at the top with Peyton Stovall. But I think they can get better, but I'm not willing to bet the house on it because, as you said, it's been a pretty much, you know, what we've seen is what we've gotten so far.
That was the question I had yesterday. I forget who I asked, but what's a number that you feel comfortable when we get into these regionals and we get into if we advance, what's a number you feel comfortable offensively that if we can get to, because in football, it's like if we can hold an opponent under 17 points, we got a chance. What does this offense have to produce? Do you think, you know, if we can get 4 runs a game, do you think that's enough with this pitching that we can win?
I think that'll win games 1 and 2. I still worry about game 3. And I tell you what, Phil, you can talk on this as well. You may have already done today, but I'm intrigued by what Gage Wood might be able to do in that possible 3rd or 4th spot. We all know that you've got to have 4 guys going into the regionals. And so I'm kind of intrigued on what we can see from him.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the 2-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua Sign Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at GoPascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Bill, always appreciate talking with you. How you doing today?
Hey, guys.
Hey, we got a big baseball series this weekend, Arkansas-Kentucky. I never thought I would say that Arkansas-Kentucky would be for the overall lead in the SEC, but here we are. 4 teams have separated themselves in this conference, and the Hogs play 2 of them. They've got Kentucky this weekend. They got A&M to wrap up the regular season. It's too bad they don't play Tennessee this year because that's always entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee's got to go down to Florida. Florida's kind of limping around a little bit. Big series for them. Kentucky, I don't know if you could say they're fading. They lost the series in Lexington to Tennessee, and I believe they just lost the series to South Carolina, right? Think so.
Yes, yeah. They lost the last game 10-0 in that series. So that would be – I think that's one of the only times they've been blown out this year, which I guess might
– Right.
You were looking
right
at probably as a as maybe a one-off thing, but we'll find out later on this week. I feel like Kentucky winning at baseball at the level that they are, well, it's not quite like Vanderbilt winning in football, because they've had some moments. I mean, Kentucky was good last year. They had a Golden Spikes winner in 2014. It's just, you know, right now they might be the best northern team in college baseball, because I know Kentucky's the South, but in the SEC it's North.
Right. Yeah, good point. Good point. We're not counting the Eastern Seaboard like East Carolina, obviously, but you're talking about Northern. Probably so. Michigan historically is a good program. They're down a little bit since Coach Bockich left. IU has had some good baseball programs, but I don't think they're so good. Going into the year, I think Iowa was probably the best team, but I don't know that I would pick Iowa. They got the one kid who throws 100, but they don't hit the ball this year as well, so that's a good point.
And you bring up, you know, some Big Ten schools there. I'd seen a report that the Big Ten is interested or wants to get into Texas, and that, you know, that there's potentially a lot of schools that are with the ACC that might get offers from the Big Ten or the SEC, and that the Big Ten wants to get into Texas, and that they might target Texas A&M. You know, the Aggies joined the SEC to get away from the Longhorns. Now the Longhorns are in the SEC. Could you see a world where Texas A&M jumped to the Big Ten?
I don't think so. And you're 100% right. Most of the Aggies leaving was we beyond hate Texas and the way they looked down at us. But it was also a financial thing, much, much more financially opportunistic for them to join the SEC when they did. I do not see that happening. Now, I do see the Big Ten targeting a Florida State to plant a flag in the state of Florida, and which would make the SEC, which I don't think in the moment wants Florida State, perhaps have to play defense there and take them. That's the checkers or the chess match I'm waiting to see. And remember, they're in a collaboration together, which is legit. And that's about the future, and that's about the future money distribution from the schools, which is what's going to happen. So they're together, but that little move on the chessboard is going to be fun to watch.
I can imagine it would be. You know, we also saw a report today that Jacoby Criswell, who I think he'd been beaten out for the number two job at quarterback at Arkansas, is reportedly transferring back to North Carolina, which was where he went for his first couple of years. And I think we brought this up with you last week when Henry Parrish rejoins Ole Miss after being at Memphis. Snacks Johnson, who had been a nickelback at Arkansas, he has transferred back to Baylor. You know, this is kind of an interesting thing. It's like, you know, you left the school to go find greener pastures only to find out that you might have liked where you were originally better to begin with. And maybe not every coach would welcome you back with open arms, but in these cases, they have been.
I was going to say, they're not obligated to take you back. Obviously, in these cases, they are. How about Tyler Barron, Tennessee defensive end from Knoxville, jumped in the portal a year ago for about a week, stayed, didn't go anywhere. A couple of months ago, transferred to Ole Miss. Couple of weeks ago, transferred to Louisville. Right now, he's visiting Miami. He's going to jump three times in one little three-month period.
In 3 months, three different places? Now, I knew about, like, you know, Caden Proctor going back to Alabama after a couple of months, but this is three schools in a month?
Yeah, and I mean, Miami's a visit. I don't know if he's going to do it. The way Miami's spending money right now, though, getting Cam Ward a couple of months ago and then get Gabriel Martinez, who's a beast of a running back out of Oregon State. They may get Tyler Barron. He's obviously shopping.
Wow. Hey, we're bringing up the idea of the basketball rivalry between Arkansas and Kentucky being taken up to a whole new level. And even, I mean, you can see it now in the reaction between fans on social media based on players that Arkansas is signing from the transfer portal and Kentucky kind of reacting to that. And we went, like, I think that could be the best rivalry in the SEC for basketball. Which rivalry do you put at the top in football right now?
Well, let me, since I've got a captive Arkansas audience, let me promise them one thing. I don't care what Coach Cal does or what Mark Pope does. Neither one of them will approach Nolan Richardson versus Rick Pitino 94-95. Not even in the same solar system. Just to make sure we all have history and perspective, it's not even comparable. What I witnessed back then. Now, you're right. It has a chance and probably will be a very exciting rivalry. Now, what was the question? Was it an underrated football rivalry? Which one? What was your question?
So we had this topic. I think the number one rivalry in SEC basketball right now is Arkansas-Kentucky, and especially with the coaching change. And in football, yeah. I got it at Alabama and Tennessee. Phil had Alabama and Auburn. I think Florida, LSU's close in there. But who do you have as the number one football rivalry in SEC football?
Well, it's easily Auburn and Alabama. It's the Iron Bowl. It's historic. It's relatively updated. Tennessee-Alabama is not all that updated, although Tennessee beat them for the first time a year ago since basically Mike Shula was there, literally. But no, though, the Iron Bowl is by far. And then I would say the cocktail part would be number two.
There's a rivalry. Or what about Alabama-Georgia? Does that qualify? Because they're not on the schedule every year. It's just we expect to see them playing each other in Atlanta every year.
I have to have a historical note, and there's not one. They don't play all that much throughout history. They play. I've watched a bunch of them. The most underrated rivalry is the Egg Bowl. I think, again, by a vicious margin. Underrated now.
Hey, I don't know how much of this NFL draft you watched with the six quarterbacks going in the first round. Is there anything out of those six guys? Do you see all six of them having success? We know that's usually not the case. It's kind of about what position you're in. Bo Nix might be in the best position going to Sean Payton with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, he's so much improvement out west when he went out there, which I got to admit I was a doubter. So good for him. Everybody's hyperventilating about Penix. Now, Michael Penix, I go way back with him because he was committed to Tennessee up here. And then when Jeremy Pruitt got the job, they dropped him. And he ends up at IU. He is injury prone. He meets Caleb DeBoer. He ends up at UW as a fantastic 2 years and just got picked higher than he should. I don't think he's a first-round talent. Love the story. Love what he's done. He's also a bit frail, and he's also very injury-prone. I don't like to follow the media at all when they're hyperventilating about stuff. And, guys, frankly, I didn't watch much of the draft. It doesn't interest me. But I thought that was about the silliest move I could ever think of in the draft. I have no idea what commit that much resources, that many resources to one position, albeit quarterback, is lunacy.
Yeah, you know, these quarterbacks, the first thing I texted Phil is, you know, three of these guys to get hurt. If they're all trying to start and play, yeah. Because you really need a chance to sit and wait for a year and learn. They don't hit the same that in college. You get hit in the pros, man. Those are trained killers. Those are trained assassins. And then you right. Saw Anthony Richardson. He's not very smart. I'm not saying he's not smart. He's just a young quarterback. What happens? He gets hit, gets hurt, can't go on. You got to kind of get it between the ears before you start playing at that level.
Yeah, and Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 230. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a good-sized dude. Penix is 6'1", about 190. He may be a little bigger than that, but he is not well-built. And you're right. The assassins, no matter how well you're built, the assassins are going to get you. Mm-hmm. And they're going to hurt you. But I worry about his durability, and he's had significant knee issues.
Same thing with Jaden Daniels at Washington. I feel like the RG3 thing coming all over again. They don't have an offensive line. He's going to be running around. He's got to hit your hot reads. You got to make sure you're on the same page because he's not going to be able to take those hits like he did in the SEC.
And height wise, he's 6'3" plus, but he's frail. He's maybe 200. I didn't check what they list him. I worry about that. Now he is a spectacular open field player, but again, we're talking about outside linebackers who are 6'4", 250, who are faster than you and much bigger and stronger than you. And then downhill, heat-seeking safeties who want to blow you up to Pluto, right? I worry about that with all those guys. Mm-hmm. I was the worry. Remember Bryce Young, 6'1", 190. That's a concern.
I think situation is a lot to do with it. I don't know that he went into the bay. And when I look at situations, Bill, I think J.J. McCarthy might be, him and Bo Nix might be in the two best situations, what they got going on in Minnesota. But I just don't think he's ready yet. You know, I think McCarthy's a guy that needs to sit for a year or two.
He was so solid at Michigan. I just don't know if I like his high-end ability. I'm to be determined. I'm not going to be too critical here. I'm just not sure I believe some of the projections that I'm hearing.
Hey, Bill, let's end where we started. You mentioned about the rivalry between Nolan and Rick Pitino. What made that stand out? Apart from, you know, I mean, it's two high-level coaches that have already been winning at a high level when they started playing against each other, coaching against each other. That's a bit different than Cal and Mark Pope, and it's—I don't mean that as an insult to Mark Pope. It's just Cal's a considerably different level of success, and is already in the Hall of Fame. But Pitino versus Nolan Richardson, what stood out?
First of all, those two teams, Arkansas and Kentucky, would destroy
physicality. Right?
Arkansas and Kentucky today would mop the floor with them. It wouldn't even be competitive, I don't think. So both were national championship contenders. Both won national championships there. And for the first time in my life, I'm at the SEC basketball tournament. Kentucky, amongst themselves, outdraws everybody else. I'm at the Georgia Dome, 94-95. Arkansas has as many fans at that event as Kentucky. That is all I needed. I just listed three reasons that the current Kentucky and Arkansas can't even come close to.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.